step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
And away we go, 7:07 on News Radio 700 WLW. It is Bengals Line, presented by Bud Light. We're at the Holy Grail Banks, the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network, and News Radio 700 WLW. Dave Lapham, Lance McAllister. We thank A.J. Green for hanging out with us in the first hour. We'll get to our special guest on the stage here in just a second. But, Dave, let's welcome in special guest by phone. He's the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, Marvin Lewis. Coach, good evening.
Hello.
Coach, how are you tonight? As we said, A.J. Green visited in hour number one, and obviously the entire country, not just the city of Cincinnati, knows what a class act A.J. Green is. They're about to find out what a class act you have in, at the defensive end position with your third-round pick. Jordan Willis is with us here in hour number two, and making quite a statement as a rookie defensive lineman for you, isn't he?
Yes, Jordan's doing a very good job, and really coming in and contributing every game, and just a very, very hard worker, just everything focused on trying to get better each and every day. He's going to have a great career.
Coach, we were talking with A.J. about the tone he tries to set in practice every snap, 110%. What does it mean to have arguably your best player setting that tone, that work ethic, play in and play out?
Well, I think it's great for the new guys, young guys, for everybody to always see and understand that that's what it takes to be great. He's always first in line. He's always been that way. And no one had to tell him that. He'd take that upon his responsibility since the first day he ever walked in here.
Coach, didn't go the way everybody had hoped, obviously, in Pittsburgh. But with a 2-4 record, there's still 10 games to play. You've been around this league a long time. 10 games is a lot of football. The challenge now is to, you know, put that game aside, not let that game affect your preparation whatsoever for Indianapolis, correct?
Yeah, we have to, you know, Dave, you got to learn something each and every week. And we've got to take some things away from it and learn and get better with, build upon, and prepare for this week. And this week is what matters. And we got an opportunity now to get going. We got a home game, so that's good. And play great out here in front of the home fans and get a good win against the Colts.
Coach, take us through that sequence that seemed to be a key moment of the game from the end of the first half into the start of the third quarter.
Well, I think, you know, obviously we go 3-and-out on offense and, you know, make them have to take a couple timeouts there. But we don't get an opportunity to move and get a first down. And then, you know, we give them the football back. And we get them second and long, and they're able to get a pass in on the sideline, which we have to do a better job of defending. It's just know the situation, know what your responsibilities are, and make sure. And then they throw another pass inbounds, and we have a chance to tackle him inbounds. And he squirts through, and they're able to get out of bounds. So those kind of plays are key until they eventually were able to kick a field goal there. And that's a key. Those are key moments in the game to not allow them to get any points there before halftime.
And we talked about how important field position was going to be during the course of this this game. Kevin Huber's having a Pro Bowl season. You know, I mean, he's averaged on this football game in 5 punts, averaged 50 yards, 48.6 net, 2 inside the 20, no touchbacks, and his season numbers are a career best for him. He's really having a great year, isn't he?
Well, he's done a great job, and he really did a nice job yesterday, and we needed him too, and that was very important. But I'd like Kevin to get less opportunities to have to punt the football.
Right. I hear you, Coach.
Coach, what would you ultimately like to see Joe Mixon do to put himself in a position for a bigger role, more opportunities in this offense?
Well, I don't know that he's going to ever get a bigger role that way. He's carrying the ball more than anybody right now, so I don't know that how the role changes. That way, he's right now. He's their leading ball carrier. He's getting the ball in the run game and the pass game. So, I don't know that touching the ball is going to happen any more than that when he's already the leader in those things.
I know it's frustrating for everybody that John Ross hasn't been able to participate at this point in time. AJ was talking about, you know, what a difference it makes to have that type of speed, you know, on the football field. Everybody's anxiously awaiting, you know, that contribution from John Ross, I guess.
Yeah, when John is ready to play and can help us in the 53 and the 46, he'll be out there.
Right.
Coach, look ahead to those Indianapolis Colts, if you could.
Well, you know, they're a football team that's been up and down a little bit, and they've been playing, you know, the quarterback has settled in now, and they didn't have a great outing on Sunday as well. But they're a team that has one of the best rushers in the history of the league in Frank Gore. They've got explosive receivers. Tight end is doing a great job for them. And defensively, they're able to put on pressure with Shear, who came over this year, who's done a great job for them. And so they've got some guys who can really pressure the quarterback. And we've got to do a great job, again, of just playing sound football in all three phases.
Coach, appreciate you carving time for us tonight. No question about that. And put together a good one for the Colts, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Marvin Lewis checking in by phone tonight as our 7 o'clock hour unfolds from the Holy Grail Banks. Dave, let's, without further ado, welcome in our special guest for hour number two.
Let's do it.
He is the rookie defensive end out of Kansas State, number 75. Give it up to Jordan Willis.
Yeah, Jordan Willis in the house. Third-round draft pick that's playing great football for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I want to go way back, though. One of 11 children. My goodness.
Yes.
You had to be very athletic to get something to eat with 10 siblings. I mean, what was it like growing up in a household with 11 kids and two adults? I mean, 13 people. My father-in-law, God rest his soul, was one of 13. And he used to tell me stories of how three slept sideways in a single bed until they outgrew that and literally having to go fight for their meals. I mean, what was it like for you guys?
It could be fun at times, and it also could be difficult. Obviously, you had to learn to share a lot of stuff.
Right.
But we would always, like, we would take up the attic space for rooms and then the basement as well. So it was a full house, so it was just trying to get used to, like, sharing stuff and, you know, learning to work together on a lot of different things.
So every square inch of that house was utilized.
Yeah, it was used.
So where do you fall in the 11 age-wise? Where are you?
I have six older siblings and then four younger, so I'm kind of like right in the middle.
Right in the middle, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. So your family, I mean, you have maybe a bigger fan base than a lot of guys in the league just for family members.
I mean, it's,
you got a lot of cousins and all that too? Or?
Yeah, I got quite a bit of nephews and nieces. I have about 15 nephews and nieces now.
Really?
Yeah, so that's a big addition to the family. Right. Well, like I've got aunts and uncles that I haven't met yet because, like, both of my parents' parents each have like 10 or 13 in their family.
Wow.
Across the board. And then my parents each only have two siblings, so it's kind of like it skipped a generation, but you go back a ways, there's quite a bit in our family.
Wow.
Have your parents been able to watch you play in person this year?
Yeah, they came to the Baltimore game, and then they came to the Buffalo game, and they'll be here this weekend for the Colts.
That's awesome. So, obviously, your brothers and sisters must be extremely proud of you. What's the range? Your oldest of the oldest and the youngest of the youngest. What's the age range?
My oldest brother is 33, and then my youngest sibling, which is my brother, he is 13.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. 33 to 13.
It's a 20-year difference, Dave.
It is.
20.
Your math. That's Mrs. Riley. I was doing some ciphering. I'm just trying to think of how many months your mother was pregnant. My goodness. She needs some kind of medal or something. I mean, that's a good woman right there. That's unbelievable.
Let's do this. Let's take our first time out. We're right on time, and we are rolling. First hour with A.J. Green. Second hour, Jordan Willis. We'll roll on. Bengals Line presented by Bud Light. We're at the Holy Grail Banks on the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network and News Radio 700 WLW. 719 on News Radio 700 WLW and the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. We're at the Holy Grail Banks. It's Bengals Line presented by Bud Light. Lance McAllister, Dave Lapham, Jordan Willis. And Dave, how about a car?
Yes. How about we get to Mike's Car Wash Sacks promotion? Since George's in the house, remember when the Bengals record two sacks, you save $6 on Mike's Ultimate Wash the next day, which would be today. Unfortunately, yesterday that didn't occur. It's only at Mike's Car Wash, the official car wash of the Cincinnati Bengals. Mike's also donates $1 of your purchase to the Marvin Lewis Community Fund. So far, 17,000 $981 for the Marvin Lewis Community Fund. Then yesterday, our Mike Scott-Warris defensive pass rush stats, no sacks. It broke the 34-game streak of at least one sack that was the second longest in franchise history. There was a quarterback hurry, three passes broken up, no interceptions. They're going to start a new streak right now. Indianapolis has allowed 29 sacks. They allowed 10 yesterday. 29 sacks, dead last in the NFL. They've accumulated 13, tied for seventh fewest. Minus 16 sack ratio, worst in the league. Time to get healthy, getting after the quarterback.
Jordan, I'm sure you had an idea coming into the league in your mind of what the NFL was going to be like. Now this deep into the season, is it what you thought? Is it more? Is it less? What's the experience been like?
I've had the opportunity to like be around a couple NFL guys that kind of trained me. One in Will Shields and Mark Seminole.
Yeah.
Two very good football players. And they kind of gave me a sense of what the NFL was going to be like. And then I spoke to some former K-State football players and Jordy Nelson and Tyler Lockett and kind of asked them what it was going to be like. So I kind of had an idea of what to kind of expect. And, you know, something that I immediately know that's different from college to the NFL is, like, obviously guys are more technique sound. In my opinion, it's not so much the game is faster so much as guys are just more technique savvy. So you just got to be – you got to be ready when you come off the snap to be able to defend whatever they're going to be able to do and, of course, react and attack when it's necessary.
And I think that's where you excel. I know Bill Snyder, I've known him for probably 30 years, I guess, and I'm almost embarrassed to say, but he's been a legend, a living legend for a number of years in Manhattan. And he is all about repetition of sound technique, fundamentals, and you're a great example of it. I mean, your footwork, your hand placement, your technique, you're like a machine out there, man. You just and there's a lot of different levels of reliability and accountability, which are two real good abilities to have, and to know, and for the coaches to know exactly what they're going to get out of you at such a young stage of your career, snap after snap, I know gives them a comfort level, and you're earning more opportunity because of that. Does that make you feel like, you know, it's all been worth it?
Yeah, I mean, I really like the situation that I'm in. Like, I get to – I mean, not a lot of guys get to come in. There'll be a couple guys here and there that'll play, but I've been fortunate enough here that our D-line coach rotates us and makes sure everybody gets a shot to play. And, you know, I'm averaging about probably 15 or more snaps a game, so that's good for me to get out there, get some experience, and then when I'm in there, try to make an impact for the team and then continue to build trust with the guys on the defense so that they know that when I'm in there that there won't be a lapse from when the starters are in there.
What's it mean? How beneficial is it to be around guys who've been there, done that, like a Carlos Dunlap, like a Michael Johnson veteran?
Prepping for a team or something like that, there's a lot of knowledge that they're able to pass on to us. Like you can gain a lot from, you know, you can gain like game experience just by watching film and things like that, but having those guys, like for instance, yesterday on the sideline when I got subbed into the game, Carlos Dunlap came over to me and was like, Jordan, you know, we're sharing some information as far as like pass sets and like when they're doing certain things. So that helped me when I took the field to be able to like already pre-know that because he had a couple plays already in, a couple drives already in. So that it just helps just because they're able to feed information to us.
Were you an all-around athlete in high school? Did you play other sports besides football?
I did track my freshman year, but after that, I started just training mainly for football. That's when I met Mark Seminole, who was a former K-Stater. He started a gym in Kansas City called
Great Houston Linebacker, Speed. Man.
And I started training there in the offseason, and that's where either I was playing football or I was training with him.
So what did you do when you were – did you run track events where you were – or did you do track
– I never ran in events, but I did like the 100-meter. But I threw most of the time.
Right.
I was a thrower.
Javelin, discus, shot put?
I was shot put. I wasn't very good at the discus. I did it, but I wasn't very good. I was okay at the shot put.
I was a shot put. Better shot putter than discus, but no javelin for me.
No.
I couldn't figure that one out, man. I couldn't get that one down. I was going to kill myself with that thing. Crazy.
Bill Snyder, Kansas State coach, has been around for decades and has seen a lot, had a lot of players come through there. He said you are the epitome of the Kansas State football program. When it comes from someone like him, there's a lot of power behind that. What does that mean to you?
It obviously shows how much respect that he gained for me. I'm not getting ready to go into the whole backstory, but obviously he saw how through my 4 years there how I had grown into the young man that I became, and then obviously the football player. But it wasn't an easy road for me. I wasn't like a guy who just showed up and I was, a lot of guys will show up and they're like already up here and they may flatten out toward the end of their career. I was the guy that crept up and got better every single year and then finished at the top. So he was obviously impressed with how I took what he was trying to teach us and help it build me into a good football player.
I tell you, I did a lot of games at Kansas State over the years with Coach Snyder there, Jordy Nelson, Mark Simino, Rock Cartwright, big rock at football. But in Coach Snyder, he impressed me because, I'd say over the years, how is so-and-so doing? Open the file cabinet in his office and pull out a file on the guy and pull out like three letters, that handwritten letters that he'd sent to them and how they'd responded. And, I mean, he had file cabinets full of players from all of the years that he, was with them. So it tells me that he would establish relationships with you guys that were more than just a coach. I mean, that guy was a mentor, wasn't he, in a lot of ways?
Yeah, he every day he would basically come into the meeting room before practice when we would meet, and he would have probably a stack of, like, letters, just like you were saying, that he would read off a couple here and there. There would be email, like, tons of it. So he obviously is a guy that he had a huge impact on me. So I would say he is a really good mentor as far as it was more about, not just about football, it was about a little bit more with him.
Right.
And that's why I always say college football needs Bill Snyder. Like, some people keep asking, like, when is he going to retire? College football needs him because it's not just about winning. And which, of course, you want to, you want to be national champions, you want to have championships, but you also want to have men of character. Like Coach Lewis today told us in the meeting room that our character will carry us a lot farther than football. So, even he, shows that example. But it's important, and that's what Coach Snyder cares about.
Jordan, here's the thing that has always impressed me about Bill Snyder. He's 78 now. How has he been able to stay connected to 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old kids? That's a big gap, yet he figures out a way to connect and touch with connect with you guys.
He just bees himself. And, guys, they have so much respect for him that they just kind of gravitate toward him. And that's why I think his program works. It's not like he goes out of his way to kind of connect with us. I mean, he does all the normal coaching things, but guys just respect him so much that that's how we're able to have good relationships with him.
I always found him to be real. I mean, it was like every single time I met with him, whether it was one-on-one or in a production meeting, whatever, in preparation for a game, he was the same guy, and just real in every sense of the word. And, he'd always ask, how's your life? How's your wife? How's your family? It's like, what? I mean, I'd never had a college football coach do that. And then I did the Cotton Bowl when Kansas State beat Tennessee. And Bill Snyder writes me this 3-page letter after the Cotton Bowl.
Wow.
And he goes, you're a great representative for the Big 12 and college football, and you did your homework for the – I mean, just like a kind of
wow.
a critique. And I'm like, unbelievable. He spent that much time to write a broadcast guy a letter after Cotton Bowl appreciating the fact that, he thought, well, you really prepared and did your job. He's all about doing your job, right?
Yes, he is. And that's what I think makes him kind of unique from a lot of different coaches is he takes time to, like you said, write those letters. And he takes time to do things that a lot.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A lot of people don't do.
Right.
because a lot of coaches are, I mean, which winning keeps you your job in a sense, but he takes time to do things that a lot of coaches won't do. And I think that's what makes him unique. That's what makes him Bill Snyder.
Couldn't agree more.
Guys, let's take another timeout. We're rolling. How about Jordan Willis, everybody? Let's get a check on news. Bengals Line presented by Bo. 7:34 on News Radio 700 WLW and the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. We're at the Holy Grail Banks. It's Bengals Line presented by Bud Light. Lance McAllister, Dave Lapham, and Jordan Willis kind enough to hang out with us in hour number two tonight.
Yes, Lance, we have a couple of programming notes here. Bengals game plan. Bengals fans, tune in to ESPN 1530 this Wednesday, October 25th, 2 days from now, for Bengals game plan presented by Bud Light on the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. That would be Dan Horde and myself from 6 to 8. And then Buffalo Wings and Rings, Bengals Pep Rally. On Fridays, make sure to join me and Dan Horde for Bengals Pep Rally, presented by Miller Lite, live at a select Buffalo Wings and Rings from 3 to 6 p.m. This week we'll be at the Finneytown location. Cy has got like, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like Cheers. Cheers of Finneytown. Everybody knows your name. Everybody's great at Buffalo Wings and Rings out there.
Jordan, take us back to the first preseason game, Tampa Bay. You were all over the place, filling up the stat sheet left and right. Not that you certainly lacked any confidence, but what did a game like that right out of the chute do for your confidence?
It boosted my confidence because I got in there for, I think the ones were in there for only the first series. They had about five plays, and then out of nowhere, my coach is like, "You're going in," and I'm like, "Because we didn't discuss that." And so I had to change my demeanor really quickly, like I'm ready to go in there.
Right.
And they had their ones in the game. And so, like, when I did that first snap, all I remember is like, I just, like, I'm going to come off the ball as hard as I can, take my power steps, strike them. And I was a good first snap. I mean, I always laugh because my first college snap, I was slow off the ball. I didn't look too good, but, like, my first NFL snap was a heck of a lot better than my my first college snap.
So, when you were at Kansas State, who was your defensive coordinator? Who coordinated you guys?
Our defensive coordinator was Tom Hayes.
Okay.
He's been at Kansas State since, I believe, 2012. And he spent probably 10 years in the NFL.
Right.
Around different clubs.
So, in that experience – plus the fact, like in Pittsburgh, it was crazy. I mean, the crowd's going nuts, particularly in the fourth quarter. They play Renegade and all, everybody's going crazy. But you know, had been to Nebraska, had been to Oklahoma, had been to Texas, had been to Texas A&M. Big stages, loud crowds. All of your experience at Kansas State, coaching, environments, everything else, level of competition, do you think it really led a nice path for you to be successful in the NFL?
I really think it did. There's only one thing that, like I said earlier, that college, it helped prepare me for, but it wasn't in college, was that the play-to-play consistency of the guys I'm going against is a heck of a lot better than
right.
the technique. But as far as, like, the crowds we're dealing with, the speed of the game, tempo, all those kind of things, and the discipline of being like an NFL player, like college kind of prepared me for that and like what I've been through.
The NFL's like playing against an all Big 12 tackle every single week, right? I mean,
it's
the cream of the crop. It's like you don't really have any kind of a fish over there to take advantage of
right.
in that offensive line, right?
Yeah.
When you were at Kansas State, I've read stories about your time there, the amount of time and preparation you put into studying other NFL defensive ends back when you were in college even, right?
Yeah, when I was a sophomore, my position coach at the time, Blake Seiler, he was the DN coach. Now he's the linebacker coach at Kansas State. He introduced me. He started to get he got our video guy to start getting a bunch of NFL film. And he just got all the, like, sacks from, like, the NFL season, which would be, like, almost 1,500, and get, like, games and things like that. And he started to watch it with me. And I went off on my own, and I just started studying.
Wow.
And I started studying guys like Cameron Wake, Robert Quinn, J.J. Watt, Von Miller, just a bunch of guys. And just looking at how each and every single one of them played a game, you know, because some are better than others at other things, and they had different talent levels. So just kind of like drawing from all of that. And in the process, obviously, I'm watching the NFL offensive linemen and things like that as well.
Is there an NFL offensive tackle in your study that you were like, man – can't wait to go against this guy. I mean, this guy looks like he's pretty good. I want to test myself against this guy. Is there anybody that comes to mind?
I didn't really pick out any guys like that. I, to be honest with you, I feel like I played against or had a chance to see and play in person against the guys that they're saying that have been the best so far. And
sure.
I believe it's the Joe Thomas and then Trent Williams from the Redskins.
Right, right.
And I did get to go against Trent. Trent, you know, is really good. I got a couple snaps against him. But just, I mean, even just to watch them on film and then get to play them in person, you kind of understand how good they are and how good their technique and fundamentals are.
Guys, let's take another time out. We're rolling in this hour. 7:39. Jordan Willis is our special guest. Bengals Line presented by Bud Light. We're at the Holy Grail Banks on News Radio 700 WLW. 7:43 on News Radio 700 WLW, the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network. Lance McAllister, Dave Lapham. This is Bengals Line from Bud Light. We roll till 9 tonight. Mike Allen is in for Gary Jeff Walker. He'll take you 9 to midnight. But Jordan Willis is our special guest in this second hour. I read another story about you that I love, and I know you can confirm. On graduation day, coaches told you, don't even worry about practice, and yet you showed up at practice. True?
Yes. It was, we were preparing for our bowl game, and we hadn't won one. We played in four bowl games when I was there, won two of them, lost two of them. But we hadn't won one since my freshman year, and I didn't get to play in the game. So, but I remember seeing, like, all the seniors up on stage and taking it all in and just watching them. And I wanted to win a bowl game. Like, I wanted to get that feeling. That I saw those seniors get, so I was trying to make sure I put all everything I had into preparation. And practice was the same time as graduation, so it was my last chance. So I decided to opt out and go to practice.
How about that? What did you get your degree in?
Criminology.
What do you want to do with that? Do you have decided yet?
I haven't decided yet. I don't think that I'll use my degree. You never know, but if I wasn't playing football, I'd be coaching.
Right.
And if
I could
was,
see you as a heck of a coach, man.
And if I wasn't coaching, I'll probably be in politics or, you know, something
politics.
Like
that. Politics. How about that? Like, an honest politician. That's rare in these times. a very honest, true to himself politician. That's the thing that impresses me about you. I was talking to the coaches during camp, and it's like, man, Jordan's one of those guys that, for all the good things that a 10-year vet has, Jordan has poise, you know, the way he carries himself, you know, intelligence, all those kind of things. Where did that come from? Where did that, you know, demeanor that you have and the, you know, you're all business and you're very, you know, you don't get rattled, you're very poised. Where does all that come from?
I think it comes from just mimicking what I see and, like I said, when I was in college and I started, I mean, my favorite football player growing up was Peyton Manning. And that's when I started playing football in sixth grade. And that's when I first saw him play. I was like, I wanted to be like him, whether I was a quarterback or not.
Right.
But just how he carried himself. And then I would hear what the commentators are saying about him on the TV, about how he's poised and how he's confident, like how he carried himself.
Mature,
and,
yeah.
That's kind of how I tried to mimic throughout my career. And then when I got to meet, like, I got to finally start work with Will Shields. Will Shields is like, you know, he's a guy that worked hard on his technique and fundamentals. He was like the strongest, fastest guy, and he'll tell you that. But like, his technique and fundamentals was the best. But the way he carries himself on and off the field and the way he played, then he's another one of those players that I try to, like, mimic what they do. And as well as, like, just watching the film and just seeing how guys play and how they're comfortable with stuff. It just, over time, it's kind of became who I am.
The combine experience. I want to say you ran a 4.53 40. In all of that.
That's crazy.
No kidding. All of that preparation and working with guys, did that help you? The combine couldn't have been a real big deal to you. You were kind of used to everything at that point?
Yeah, I mean, I had knew how fast I was. I knew how fast I could run, how high I could jump, and all those kind of things. A lot of other people didn't know that because of, I mean, just certain things. I mean, whatever they had me docked out to be or whatnot. But, I mean, I had been training for a while. I knew what I was capable of doing. And then, like, obviously playing at Kansas State, you know, you play in the – or the playing in the Big 12, you play in those fast-paced offenses. You don't get a lot of opportunity to show, like, certain things you can do. Yeah. And then playing 70, 80 snaps a game, there's just – there's so much that goes into it that we don't have time to get into. But, I mean, now – I think now people are starting to see what kind of athleticism I really have as a player. Because in the you get time to recover in between plays, and I'm not playing 80 snaps a game, as opposed to when I was in college, like I was out there
a bunch of snaps, no doubt.
And it was no time. Like I'm getting all this time to rest in between plays in the NFL. I had about 8 seconds in college. So.
Right. So I know you're big on understanding how important it is to take care of your body, not just what you eat, but massages and all those kind of things from a recovery standpoint. Where did that come from? Who gave you that tip on, hey, Jordan, the sooner you understand this, it's going to, lengthen your career and all that sort of thing?
In college, I dealt with some minor, like, injuries. Just going through the physical stresses of college football, being sore, you don't want to be sore all the time. So I started then, like, just whatever I could. From a college football standpoint, I took advantage of, like, our recovery there. But then when I started to get into the NFL process, talking to guys like Tyler Lockett, talking to some of my agents, clients like Kiko Alonso and guys like that, they told me kind of like, they go get massages, they do cryotherapy, they'll do dry needling, any of that kind of stuff. And I was like, man, I got to implement that to my game so that, once I get into the season, I'm not, of course you're going to hit a wall to where you're kind of dealing with some soreness and stuff, but at least it could help you alleviate some of the pain.
Right.
So just listening to guys that have been through it, making those phone calls and trying to figure that stuff out before I get into the process.
You went in the third round of the draft. What was it like wading through the first and second round to the point your name is called?
It felt like it took forever, and then it's kind of annoying that the first round is the first night, and then they cut it off. But you get all this pent up emotion,
right?
And like, you can't sleep,
and you're trying to go to sleep, right. And then you got to wait until like 7 o'clock or almost 5 o'clock the next day,
right? Yep.
And it was kind of nerve wracking. I still remember the night I was drafted. Because I did not expect Cincinnati. I had never spoken to anybody from Cincinnati, and then you get all these plans based off of who you've spoken to, who you visit, all that kind of stuff. But when Marvin called me, I was in sleep mode, because I'm waiting. The phone's right there, and I'm lying in my bed, and then I answer it, and I'm like, is Marvin Lewis, and I'm like, I didn't register with me for about 5 minutes. It was kind of dull for saying, then it kind of registered, I'm being drafted, and it's Marvin Lewis from the Cincinnati Bengals. So it was a fun experience, though.
They were stunned that you were there in the third round. They had a much higher grade on you, and you're a steal. I mean, it's amazing to me that you were there as well. And then Carl Lawson there in the fourth round. Value that the Bengals got at that position in the third and fourth round with you two guys. I mean, there's a lot of politics. There's a lot of who knows what. But the fact is, man, you guys can play football. And it was very evident day one at training camp, like, man, they got themselves some diamonds in the rough. And not even in the rough, they got some diamonds in the third and fourth round. Did you guys kind of talk about it? Have you guys said, I don't know what was up, but, man, I'm glad we're here.
Yeah, me and Carl are actually roommates. He's a really good guy. It's just kind of cool to, like, because me and him are kind of similar in, like, our attitudes and how we carry ourselves. We're very similar. So to, like, be paired up with somebody like him as a roommate,
right?
It's a cool experience because, like, I know he wants to be a really good football player, and I know he expects the same of me. And, I mean, you've seen him play. I don't know how he got overlooked, but
it's amazing. His speed to power is crazy, isn't it?
I mean, it just, like you said, the politics of certain things. But he's a good football player and is going to continue to do great things.
Guys, let's take one more timeout, come back, head down the stretch. All George Willis, our special guest from the Holy Grail Banks for the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network and News Radio 700 WLW. Heading down the stretch of the 7 o'clock hour. We'll get your news in just a couple of minutes. Jordan Willis, kind enough to hang out with us in this hour. It's Bengals Line presented by Bud Light. We're at the Holy Grail Banks.
And, Jordan, I guess a logical question would be, you have younger brothers, and you have to be a huge influence on them. Are they athletic? Any of them play football?
Yeah, I have three younger brothers, and they all three. One just finished up his senior year in high school. And then the other two, one's a – will be a junior next year. Another one, they're looking at the one that's a senior, but he'll probably end up going to a JUCO before he goes to pursue any other colleges in the future.
Why was it? Why was Kansas State your choice?
When I went started the recruiting process, my first initial reaction to what to do was just go to football camps. And Kansas State held their satellite camp at a high school near mine when I was a sophomore, and that was the first one. I just picked it. Yeah. I didn't know anything about Kansas State. I just went to their camp, and there was Coach Snyder was the head coach, but the defensive staff was a totally different staff than what actually ended up being the staff when I got there. But they liked me, and then – being a kid that would have been the first in my family to go to college, I was just excited that I had an opportunity to do something different. So I just stuck with them, and it worked out.
Now, I know you're a NASCAR fan. Your dad works at an auto body shop that is owned by who?
Ricky Hendricks.
All right. So how big a NASCAR fan are you?
I'm pretty up there. If it ain't football, I'm watching NASCAR. I don't get to watch it that much now that I'm actually playing on Sunday. We were playing during the race that happened yesterday. My favorite driver, Martin Truex Jr., he won at Kansas yesterday. And I was actually able to sit on his pit box in May.
Wow.
Went during the Kansas race. And
that's
he
cool.
won then, too. So he swept the Kansas race this year.
Man.
There's nothing that view, it's one thing to watch it on TV. To sit in the pit box, that's a whole new experience,
yeah,
isn't
that,
it?
That was because I spent so many years watching it on TV, but to, do that, there are not too many moments that compared to that moment. I was super excited for that.
That sound, when the car rolls in and they jump over the wall to change the or whatever, it's amazing to watch.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience. And then to, be there and they won. So I got to go to Victory Lane to experience all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because you see it on TV and then you're there and you're experiencing it. It was a great experience.
So with 11 children, how many jobs did your dad have? I mean, that's a lot of bread to have to earn right there, isn't it?
he had one mainstay job, but what he does that he could do side work on his own that – kind of had dealings with his work, so he made a good living. I had a good upbringing.
Good, that's awesome.
The hour is up. This was a blast. I really appreciate you hanging out with us tonight for an hour.
You're a class act, my man.
How about Jordan Willis, everybody? Good stuff.
Absolutely.
2 hours in the books. Much more to get to. It's Bengals Line presented by Bud Light, Holy Grail Banks, and the First Star Logistics Bengals Radio Network and News Radio 700 WLW.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.